Okay, so we are up to Perek Yud Aleph, and this is a Perek which I think will be the first time we've had it like this. I believe I'm characterizing this correctly. It is Kol Kulo metaphysical, right? Which is the smart way of saying Kabbalah, mystical. Now, I think it's the kind of mysticism that almost every paragraph, at least on our level, there's an access point. I'm not saying that I know for sure everything that he means, but the beginning of it is just basic ideas from him or the Medrash, which is mystical and metaphysical. And then the last part of it is, we'll see if we get through all of it, is citation after citation after citation from the Zohar. Okay, so everyone had their Wheaties and put on their big boy boots. So now we're ready to go. But in all seriousness, it's not just that it's Kabbalah and you should be prepared. This is some of the most important Kabbalah there is, certainly when it comes to Talmud Torah, and one of the core principles of the entire Nefesh HaChaim is enunciated in this chapter. So now that I've sold it, let's find out if I oversold it, undersold it, or gave it the appropriate chashivas that it desires. Ulazos, he says. Iker chiyusam v'oram v'kiyumum shel olamos kulam al nachon. The entire essence, the chiyus, the life force, the light, the sustenance, the sustaining of all of the worlds, kulam, al nachon, to be exactly the way they're supposed to be calibrated in the universe, in the galaxy. It's only when we are learning Torah as we are supposed to. If you recall, part of last week's shiur, last perek, was a certain Kabbalistic idea about how Torah comes from not just some upper world, but the highest part of the highest world. Right? That was what we mentioned last week. And again, the whole idea, which is a Kabbalistic idea of Hashem's Ein Sof or whatever, you know, filtering down through the different worlds till ours, that's an idea. But the idea was that the Torah was on the highest of the high, and it gives energy to everything else. So he's already kind of planted that seed in our brain the last parak, but here's where he's going to focus exclusively on this. The entire galaxy, solar system, well, I don't know what other synonyms there are or what other concentric circles we can draw, but however far you can imagine, all of that, and then what you can imagine, it's all powered and energized only when we are learning Torah the way we must. Ki kucha brichu, now why? You know, it's a bold claim. Why should that be? Ki kucha brichu v'araisa v'Yisrael chad. Again, an idea which we've seen before, but now he's taking it in one, you know, very extreme, very literal direction. Because in the end of the day, Torah really is a way of saying that it all comes from Hashem. Hashem has to be, right? He's, as we say in davening every day, he is, you know, he's being mekayim the world every day. How does he do that? Through Torah. Torah and Hashem are really one. Kudja brisa varaisa chad. Zohar parshas Achimos. Shekol echad miYisrael. He has another little nuance here, a little knetch. Kol echad meYisrael, every Jew, shoresh nishmasa ha'alyona. I guess we may have different dimensions or multiple neshamos or whatever that means, but the highest part of our neshama, what's the root of it? Mudbak v'nechaz bos achas min haTorah. Every one of us have an element of a single letter of the Torah that is the shoresh of our neshama. V'hayu l'achadim mamash. And therefore, mamish, we are one. In other words, the Torah, Hashem, so the Torah is made up of these letters. Each of these letters is a part of Hashem, and we have that inside of us. So therefore, the whole galaxy, everything is, again, it's like, I think I may have mentioned the mashal last time, you know, there's a certain, at some point your car battery dies. Like, I don't know how many years, how many miles, whatever. You need a new battery, but it's a long time. But the fascinating thing is when your car battery is, so to speak, working, right, when your car battery is working, it actually, what powers the car battery? Using it, right? I don't know the exact engineering reason for this, but like other batteries, the more you use it, then it eventually draws down, right? You buy a 9-volt battery, put it in your arcade game, whatever it does. But the car battery, I don't know, if you don't use your car, you go away for the summer, you leave the car, nothing happens, right? If no one turns on the car for 3 or 4 weeks, your car will be dead, right? The more you using the car, you know, so to speak. So here also, we have this piece of Hashem inside of us. By using it, so to speak, by learning Torah, we're giving energy. If we don't learn Torah, then it's, you know, maybe it'll last for a little while. It's like leaving the headlights on overnight, right? But it's just drawing down and destroying the battery. And the whole thing will fall apart. He's actually going to say further, because he's basically going to say, you don't get even a whole night. We need to do this every second. Basically, if you don't plug in, you know, sometimes your battery dies, so when the computer or your shaver or whatever, you know, it's plugged in, it's good. The second it gets pulled out a little bit, it dies. You're like, wait a second, what happened to my charger? That's when you know your battery or your charger doesn't work anymore. So he's going to say that. But for now, we don't even have to go that far. It's just the idea that the more we learn, the more energy we're giving, so to speak, to this battery. Ulekach Amru, it says in Bereishis Rabbah, Shemach Shavtan Shal Yisrael Kadm L'Chol Davar. The idea of creating the Jewish people came before anything. Now, how could you say that? He says, didn't we just say, don't we know, that the Torah came before the world? What's the answer? It's not a stira. The Torah and the Jewish people are one, and from a melo, we all, b'shorash nishmatenu, came before the world. Here we'll get a little more, you know, we'll dive a little Kabbalistically here. What does that mean, machshavtan? What does that mean when it says, you know, Hashem, he's al machshava. Hashem had a thought. Al machshava, he had a thought. What's a lomar rachis machshava? The first thought, that's the term that's used. Al machshava. There's a medrash that says, you know, Hashem thought, I'll create the world with din. Didn't realize we can't survive with that, right? There's different. That's a term that's found in Chazal. Allah b'machshava means one's first thought. Reishis ha-machshava. Sod ha-re'usa. Ilah. Now he gets, you know, again, while we're rationalistic, we can make a Kabbalistic spin on it. Sod re'usa Allah. Re'usa is the ratzon. The highest form, the most elevated, pristine, rarefied ratzon, that was already at that moment. It's not just the first completed thought of Hashem was to the Jewish people. It's the first, most pure, first part of the thought of creating the world was to create the Jewish people. As it says in the Zohar and Vayera, Deha Yisrael Salik Beru'usa Dekuch Abrichu Ad La Yivra Alma. That Hashem, the Jewish people were Allah Baratzon Bakarish Barchu even before he created the world. So he's just doubling down on that. With the background being, but then last week we talked about how the Torah came first. The answer is not a stira, because we have the Torah is made up of the letters, and every one of us has that letter, so to speak, that shorish neshama of us, which comes again from the letter. Now, what does that mean? The letters in our I don't really know, but I think there's at least some. There's part of this that is definitely, I think, accessible to us. Haruusahi, reishis akol. And this, by the way, certainly is accessible on a more prosaic level, right? That the rutzon of anything comes first. Right, first you have a plan. I want to do this. I want to accomplish this. I want to do whatever I don't want to do. And then you do it. Then you execute the plan. Right, we spoke about that last time. Form follows function. Haru'usa hi reishis hakol. Elokus gomer kavyachol. Okay, then we slide right back into something that's totally Kabbalistic. That rutzon, that first thing, is pure elokus. That's pure spirituality, right? In order to make that spirituality manifest, we have to clothe it in something physical. But memela, that dilutes its pure spirituality factor. Right? You have to add something in order to make it a bar kayuma, just like you have to add a preservative so the food doesn't spoil or whatever. So here we transform it, or we add something to the pure elukus to give it the form that Hashem wants in the physical body, etc., etc. But the first thing, the olav machshavto, the first thing is pure elukus. Where does that come from? From the highest of the highest of the worlds. Kenizkar Shamba Parshas Noach Uba Bekude in the Zohar and Noach and Bekude Amr B'Shimon Aremis Dekad Reusa Ilah. When Hashem had this highest desire, and then everything flowed from there. Everything was lights that somehow came from that original high machshava, all the way from the up to the down, kulu akrun ein sof, and they were all called the ein sof, meaning they all get filtered down. But anything that's created, the Torah, the Jewish people, that's coming from the highest place. That's coming from this first, most pure, pristine machshava of Hashem. Ulechein amru. Now let's get back to a little a source that's more accessible to us. Rashi on the first pasuk in the whole Torah, Bereishis. Right, so that famous Rashi quotes all sorts of play on words that we have from Chazal of Bereishis, Bishvil ex Shenikra Reishis. Right, not just in the beginning Hashem created the world or created whatever, but for what purpose did He create the world? That's that Rashi. So says Rav Chaim Volozhiner, Elchein Amru Bereishis, Bishvil Torah Shenikra Reishis, Bishvil Yisrael Shenikra Reishis. Right, an astute reader of Rashi on the very first pasuk in the Torah could be already asking, you know, part of the question he's asking. What's the relationship between Hashem and the Torah? How can it be that it's Bishvil Hashem? Only one person can be Reishis, right? I know nowadays everyone's a winner and we get participation trophies, right? But, you know, you can't accuse Rashi or Chazal of that stupidity. You know, only in the 21st century could we be smart enough to do that. So that couldn't be. So what does that mean? How could they both be Reishis? Bishvil this was Reishis? The answer is no, because on some level, there's some Venn diagram in which the Jewish people and the Torah are the same. There's some part of that Venn diagram where we overlap. There's this pure alukus, which goes into the Torah, and some of that is what goes in to us. That's part of our highest neshama. Ulchein Amruzal, this is a Gemara. Very powerful Gemara. Rav Soloveitchik has a whole drasha about this idea, which again is a quasi-Kabbalistic drasha because the Rav knew Kabbalah. Ha'omen al hameis b'shas, you see that's neshama chayiv likroa. Right, it's not really our minhag anymore, and I've only had this horrible experience once in my life, and it was actually tragic because it was a young man who died. But if you're with somebody at the time that he or she dies, b'shas yisias neshama, the halacha that's brought down in Shulchan Aruch from this Gemara is you're supposed to tear kriya, and if you're not relatives. There's the Avelos, which has Kriya, we learn from Parshas Amor and the Kohanim, right? That Shiva, Shloshim, all that stuff. That's for a relative. Unless maybe a Rebbe Mufok, some people say Shiva for other things. But to tear Kriya, that technically is anyone who's there at the moment of the Yitzias Neshama. And what do we know? Where do we know that from? Why? Halama Aradavar Dome, what's this from? Laroa Sefer Torah Shinisraf. Because what's the halacha? Let's say Rahmana Latzlan. I used to think that we didn't have, now, after the Holocaust, we didn't have to worry about this. And then 2 nights ago, it happened in Lod. Oh, you know this, the rioting in Lod. They took Torahs from a shul and they burned them. Okay? So the halacha is, which we thought we were kind of past this in history, naively, I guess, and we still didn't think we would have this in Eretz Yisrael. I mean, it's really mind-boggling, some of the things we're dealing with, you know, in Israel. It's not Germany in the 1930s. Right? In Israel, in Lod, they were burning Sefer Torah, ransacking shuls. Jews had to be evacuated from certain neighborhoods for their safety in Israel. Okay, this is not not a politics or a Zionist chabur, but like it's just like hard to process what's going on and certain things. So what's the halacha? We see Rachmana Litzlan, a Torah that's burnt. You're supposed to tear kriya. We tear kriya on a Torah. Why? So what do we see from this? It says the Gemara. This is already in the Gemara. You don't need to be. I mean, it's a quasi kabbalistic idea, I guess, somewhat. But you don't have to be a kabbalist. Right? This is in the Gemara. Shekedushas neshamas kol echad meYisrael. Hihi kedusha sefer Torah mamash. Right, the Gemara already lays the predicate. You know, you could say this in a less or in a more Kabbalistic way. But I don't think you completely can ignore, you know, this kind of deeply symbolic / mystical intent. It's already in the Gemara, right? That the Jew is compared to a sefer Torah. There's a title of a drusha that the Rav gave. It was originally in Yiddish. It was translated in Hebrew and it was published in a journal called the Beis Yosef Shoal, which among others, Rabbi Taragin has an article in. And that year, the Kol Elyon, which Rabbi Taragin was in, you know, 30 years ago, they learned Masechtos and the Sugis of Stam, like in Gemara Menachos, so Sefer Torah, Tefillah, Mezuzah. So all the Rebbeim, and the guys in the Kol, including Rabbi Taragin at the time, wrote Lomdash articles on that. But they included for the first time, and maybe I guess the only time it's ever been printed, in addition, they added in this YU Torah journal a Hebrew translation of the Yiddish, which was originally the Joshua was originally given in Yiddish. So I forget how you say it exactly in Yiddish, but the Hebrew title was HaYehudi Mashul Sefer Torah. It's based on this Gemara, and then the Rav going to town with beautiful drush, which some of it's more rationalistic, but a lot of it's somewhat Kabbalistic, about this idea of the Jew being compared to the Torah. So, in and of itself, it's a beautiful image. But now we have the more rigorous, albeit mystical, background and context. Now we understand where it's coming from, right? It's not just the idea, when you see somebody die, you tear kriya. It's based on this entire, you know, maybe we understand 1% of it, maybe not even, but we at least we know that there's this whole system, this ecosystem of thought, metaphysical thought about how we're all one, the Torah, the Jewish people, and we're all part of that highest life force of Hashem, which is the battery which is keeping the whole world running. Ulachein, me'ez habriya. Initially, when Hashem created the world, was the Torah revealed? It was not, right? Not till Har Sinai. And there's a famous Chazal, which he's alluding to, that says the world will be around for 6,000 years, right? Three sets of two. And what's the first 2,000 are before the Torah was given, which are called Tohu. So right, now, again, that medrash, right? You don't have to be, you can't read that medrash without knowing whether you understand it or not, whether you even try to understand it or not. But I don't think there's anything other than a mystical or metaphysical way to understand that medrash. I don't even know what it means, right? So it says Rav Chaim Volozhiner, getting more meat to the idea, more body, more form to it. Umerachok levad ha'ira l'kol ha'olam asachios l'kayam. So 1 second, Frekzach Hakasha. If the life force of the whole world is the Torah, how did the world exist without the Torah? It was like munach b'kufsa. But sometimes they even tell you, like with certain kind of batteries, even if you have it like closed up, it's still emitting whatever radiation or something, right? So even though the Torah hadn't been revealed to the world, because it already existed even before the creation of the world, let alone 1,500 years in, 1,000 years in, right? So even in that first 2,000 years, it existed, but because it was still wrapped up in the box up in Shamayim, it was a very faint pulse. It was sending out a very faint signal. So therefore, says Rechaim V'Lozher, Ein Hachinami, in those first 2,000 years, the world was not exactly the way it should have been. It was only from very far we were getting a very faint signal to give life and kiyum to the world. The signal didn't have four bars. It didn't get all the way to the bottom of Lamata. What's Lamata? Our world is Lamata. Where you and I right now is Lamata. It didn't get all the way there. This is really, really, again, wild stuff, but internally it makes sense. I just don't know what any of it means, really. He says, those 2,000 years, all of the world, including ours, were rofufim. They were weak and unstable. Right? In other words, again, I'm not a chemist, you know, or a chemistry or an engineering person, but I know that, like, sometimes you have an unstable compound, right? You need something. So that was the world until the Torah was given. It had enough, you know, it could catch enough of a signal. You're like hanging out the window to steal someone's Wi-Fi. You could catch a little bit enough of a signal that the world was existence. But, you know, every now and then the Wi-Fi dropped. And, like, then it came back. And then it dropped. And, like, the whole thing, he says, was unstable. And that's what Chazal mean. It's Gemara in the Masechta Avodah Zarah, Daf Tes, Shnei Alafim Tohu. Those first 2,000 years were called Tohu. Right? Usually we think Tohu is pre-the world. Right? Haaretz said Tohu Vavohu. He says, no, Tohu, on some level, is described in the 2,000 years. Hayitluyim Va'omdim at Eis Matan Torah. And it was, like, hanging by a thread. Barely hanging on until Matan Torah. Im Maaseh Bereishis. Excuse me, I lost the blank. Kedua, Mamaram, as the Gemara says in Brachos, excuse me, Shabbos, Shehisna, Karsh Baruch Hu, Im Maaseh Bereishis, right? This is a very famous Gemara, where Hashem made a deal with Maaseh Bereishis. I'm creating you now, Alatznai, that sometime in the next 2,000 years, the Jewish people are Mekabel of the Torah. And if they do, great, and if not, I'm turning you back to Tova Vohu. Bechinu B'Shmos Rabba, Udvarim Rabba, Utanchuma Rabba, Shir Shirim Rabba, etc., etc. And it quotes here a pasuk from Shir Shirim, Perek Aleph, pasuk Yotes, Dimisich Rayasi. Somehow, like, and I don't know what the whole pasuk is there, but basically, like, I imagined, like, Dimayon, I likened or I imagined Rayasi, my beloved. So, what did the Gemara say on that? A play on words? I mean, the Chazal? Rayasi de Olami. This is referring to the world itself. Shekiblu Torah. See, that accepted my Torah. Sheilu lo kiblu, because if the world had not accepted my Torah, Haiti machzirat Olami letovo, I would have destroyed the world. I think that's who it is, or somebody else with those initials. Ksiv, it says, the pasuk, Nemugim Eretz, the world will melt away. Anochi Tichanti Amudea Sela. And I, Hashem says, I prepared Tichanti big pillars. There's, imagine, Lahavdil, that sounds like one of these, like, you know, Greek mythological vision, images, Lahavdil, about $5. But the world is standing on pillars. What were those pillars? Iluli Yisrael Shamdu Al Har Sinai. If the Jewish people hadn't stood on Har Sinai, accepted the Torah, Umi Bisei Sa'olam, Anochi, right? Anochi Hashem Elokecha, the Ten Commandments, Sasar Sadebros. When the Jewish people got the Torah, that's what gave a basis to the whole world. Beschus Anochi Hashem Elokecha, Tichanti Amudei Sela. Yes.
So what's the Ogin?
Melting away. So until, like, imagine, right, you have this huge world, like multiple worlds, right? It's like hanging by, what's that called? You know, like for the kids? You have things on the strings, you move them? No, like if you have a performer, you know, when he has like little characters and he moves them. You can take a puppet thing, right? The whole world's hanging by these threads, by this string. It's very unstable. For 2,000 years. And Hashem has what's underneath all these. Oh, sorry. It's get this big pillar, right? So the pillar, it's like, you know, it's like one of those, like, you know, out of a movie. Like, either the strings are going to drop at 2,000. If there's going to be a pillar here, it's going to catch it, the world will be solid again. And if not, there's nothing here. So that's what happened when we accepted the Torah. We gave us, it was a stabilizing force at the last, you know, in the nick of time to keep the world going. It was barely going for the first those 2,000 years till the Torah, and then after that it would have fallen apart except for Hashem gave this pillar to stabilize everything. And then from there, okay, now we have the Torah, now we have this chain, right? Like, it's like, you know, if you build like a wireless network, we have all these different, you know, cell towers, we can get the signal. Now it's not just like the faint signal, we can really get the signal because it's coming from super duper high, but we have an entire thing of cell towers, so to speak, to bring the signal to us. As it says in Bereishis Rabba, Ba Moshe V'Hori Del Aretz, Moshe brought the Torah down to this world. Kol Chayusev V'Kiyumim Kol Olamas. What did Hashem bring down? What did Moshe bring to the world? You thought he brought down the Torah? Ha! He did, but not just that. Moshe brought down the life force of this and every single world with him when he came down from that mountain. Hurak aydei hevel pinu higyoni ba. And it's not just, by the way, again, it's not just, if you have the battery on but no one's pushing the gas, then the battery will die. Right? It's when we're learning the Torah, that is what keeps the world going. And here we go. If you want to, if you have your own copy, I would make an asterisk and or highlights. One of the most famous two or three lines in the entire Sefer, and probably in the top 10 in the last few hundred years of like Torah Hashkafa things. Here it is, world famous, from Chaim Volozhiner. V'ha'emes, I'm speaking truth now, not hyperbole in his mind. Other people might think of this as hyperbole. He does not. He believes this literally, not only seriously, but literally. Ha'emes, built Yishum Safek, I have no doubt, unequivocal. Im haya ha'olam kulo mikatzead katzeu panui chasa shalom afrega echad mamish me'esek v'izbonu shalona b'torah. If anywhere in the world there was, we could say, if any point in time, I should say, there was no one in the world who was learning, because a rega achad, even for 1 second, a rega achad mamish, where there was no Torah anywhere in the world, karega, at that moment, hayu nechravim kolamos, the whole thing would go, everything would be destroyed. El yainim, taktainim, not just our world, everything, a chain reaction of destruction. Hayu le'efes v'tohu chas v'shalom. The whole thing would go kapui. V'chein shif'as oram omiyuto, akol rak kefi'inyin v'rov askinaba. The more light, the less light, the more energy, the less energy, totally in one thing. Shtaygin. How much learning are we doing? That's what uses the battery, and then it doesn't weaken the battery. Adaraba. The more we use the battery, the stronger the signal gets, the better it is. And if we're using it less, then it's going to... If all of a sudden the lights start flickering, you wonder, you know, is there a problem in the wiring? You know, do the batteries... You start to check to the battery. All of a sudden, if the light in the world starts flickering a little bit, you know that maybe not so many people are learning at the moment. And if Chas HaShalom, for 1 second, no one would be learning... And this, by the way, he didn't just talk the talk, although this is quite the talk. Right? If he said this nowadays, I think it would be tweeted out. Hot take, right? Chaim Volozhiner, hot take. It would go viral. But he didn't just talk the talk, he walked the walk. If I'm not mistaken, I believe this is famous. In Volozhin, they learned 24 hours a day. They had a rotation. So there would never be a moment where they took a cry for the world. When the rest of Russia was sleeping, someone's got to be learning. Well, you're going to count on the Goyim in America. In China, how do you know where the time zones people are learning in? Or the whole world's in Lithuania. Fascinating, fascinating. And again, sometimes you hear this quote that Chaim Volozhiner said, if people, so it's still a hard quote to understand. It's still quite an astounding claim. But now we know where it's coming from. There's an entire rigorous, it's metaphysical, but it's not rational, and it's not, you know, it's rigorous, and it's sophisticated, and there's multiple levels and layers of this background that this just emerges from. Ulachain, he says, now if you want a great word, this will help you with brachos tomorrow morning. Lachain anu bavarchem aleh, that's what we say every day in the Torah. V'chaye olam nata besochenu. What does that mean? Kinyan hanetiyah, just like a planting. Shenetiyah kidei lasos pri laharbos tova. Right? You plant in order so it should eventually grow lots of fruit. Kain im anu machazikim b'torah kadosha b'chol lachainu karay. If we learn Torah with all of our might, anu manchilin chaye ad. We are, so to speak, implanting in ourselves everlasting life. And we are drawing from the highest of the high, the source that we're getting, right? The water we're getting is so pure. The energy we're getting is so refined, it's coming from the highest of the high, the highest of all the worlds. Tosefis, Kedusha, Ubracho, or Gadol, Bechol HaOlamos. That's what it means, Chai Olam, not Tavis Chayenu. You say the bracha every day. What does it mean? Chai Olam, what does it mean he implanted in us? The answer is when we learn Torah, because our neshama is already part of it. So we like make the, you know, the plus minus, we create the charge. When we learn, all of a sudden, there's a battery for the universe, there's also a battery for our neshama. And that life force, which is giving the life to the whole universe, comes from our neshama when we're learning Torah. It's the possibilities and power of that have been implanted in us. Agam livnos. Okay, this next paragraph, at least for me, it's a paragraph we're going to skip. I'm not sure what it means or how important it is. But if you skip down a little bit, you see where it says ubechazita. It goes a pasuk from Shir Shirim. Shokav amude sheish. His legs are pillars of marble. Elu tamir chachamim. These are obviously metaphoric. It refers to the tamir chachamim. They are pillars of marble. Lama nimshulu lamudim. Why are they pillars? Shemamudi olam. Because the tamir chachamim are holding out the world. Because if it's all based on learning, the people who can learn the most hold the Torah up, the world up the most. Shenamar imlo brisi yomam v'layla. Right? Hashem says I made a bris. And if you're not learning Torah day and night, I will destroy the world. Chachmos Bansa Besa. That's a pasuk, says the Medrash in Mishlei. Chachmos Bansa Besa. How are you building with Chachma? Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu, Im Zacha Adam Lama Torah V'Chachma. If we learn Torah, we learn Chachma. Chashuv L'fanai K'ma Shebar Shemaim. As if you created the world. Uki'ilu Himid Es Kol Olam Kula. As if you're sustaining and holding up the entire world. Right? Because it doesn't, the fact that I made it all those years ago, but if my creation would fall apart without your contribution, so you're also a creator. Right? You weren't the original creator, but you're at this point just as much a creator as Hashem. If you learn Torah, you're the Bar Olam. I mean, not the Bar Olam, you're a Bar Olam. Because you're sustaining and keeping the world going. Similarly, it says, with Perek Esh Eschayel, Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu, again, also from Mishnah, the Medrash there, Hashem says to the Jewish people, Banai. Study Torah day and night, and I will make it as if you kept the whole world going. There's like three or four paragraphs of Zohar. Since it's late, I'm just going to give you the highlights of one or two of them, and then we'll go to the last paragraph or the end of the chapter, which is he goes back to not summing things up in a Mishnah Perkei Avos, which I think we can all handle from this week's parak. So in the Zohar, Bereishis Mem Zayin, it says, V'yitchashev, I'm reading a line in, V'yitchashev leik ilu bani amin. Again, you see here from the Zohar, he points out, it says if you, you know, when you learn Torah, it's as if you created the world. And then there's the Zohar from Parshas Vayeshev, Begin kach kula kaima al kiuma daraisa, v'alma lo eskaim b'kiuma ela baraisa. Again, the Zohar is reiterating this idea that the world cannot be sustained without Torah. The Zohar in Truma says, Hashta kolmand istakel baba raisa v'shtadu. Anyone who looks into the Torah and studies it, kavyachlu makayim kalama. Again, another repetition of this idea. Kuchabrichu istakel baba raisa baralma. Barnash istakel baba raisa makama. Maybe that's maybe the favorite line. Of all these Zohars, I would say that would be the line I'd highlight. The Zohar in Truma, right? Hashem was istakel baba raisa and created the world. And every time you and I open up a sefer and learn Torah, we're quote unquote looking into the Torah, and we are also creating the worlds. Okay, let's just skip to the last two lines or so, which is from Perkei Avos, this week's Perek. Perek King and Torah, the sixth Perek. Chayin Amr Perek Maile, he calls it Perek Maile Satorah. Shkala Osek B'Torah says in Perkei Avos, sixth Perek Mishan Aleph, Bryce Aleph. Kala Osek B'Torah L'Shema Nikra Reya, you become a Hashem's best buddy. What does that mean, Reya? How can you be Hashem's friend? Ki Kavyocha Nasa Shutov L'Yotzer Bereshit, because Hashem needs a pal. Hashem needs a partner in the creation of the world. Kevin Shumakaim Ata is called Lomos, basic Torah. Since you are holding up all of Hashem's worlds, and since without you the whole world will fall apart, you become a Reya, a best buddy, a beloved one to Hashem, as the Medrash said, Dimisich Rayasi, we are the Raya of the Olam, we are the person holding up the whole world by becoming Makabal and learning Torah. So just in case you weren't sure how important afternoon Seder is, it's a little bit important. Because, you know, without